Blog Talk Radio.
This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, June the 11th. And today we're going to chat with our friend George Rodriguez, as we like to do once a week. We're going to take a look at the politics of Texas, a very interesting development over the last couple of days. Governor Abbott saying that Texas is going to build a wall. Now, it's not going to be the Trump wall. It's not going to be... probably not going to be right on the border, but it's going to be, you know, I suppose, inside Texas, some territory into the state of Texas. And this is, of course, has created quite a controversy. I was interviewed earlier today by Univision here in Dallas, and they were asking me about, you know, what legal authority the governor had, and the other person who was on the interview, the Democrat, was saying that this is completely illegal. So is it? I mean, I don't think it is, because we're talking about building a fence or a wall, if you will, on Texas territory. I don't know of any federal law that says that a state cannot build a wall. So it gets into a little, let's just say a little confusion because of the nature of the fact that we're talking about immigration, and immigration is a federal matter, but in this particular case, the federal government is not doing anything about this issue. In fact, they created the problem, and they have done nothing to make the problem better. So it's just going to be fascinating to see what happens. Now, the governor promised that we're going to be having some details about all of this next week. Well, we'll see. You know, we'll see what the details are. We'll see what the details of the governor's plan are. Let me say hello to our friend George Rodriguez. How are you, George? Well, maybe we got the wrong line. Okay, I'm sorry. We'll have to give George an opportunity to call back. But the problem comes down to a very difficult situation for the state of Texas, because on one hand. You know, you do understand, you know, I can certainly understand that the federal government has a priority when it comes to immigration. I mean, that's true. That is absolutely true. The federal government does have a priority when it comes to immigration. If the federal government is not doing anything to tackle immigration, and basically you have a chaotic situation on the border, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do if you're the state of Texas and you're spending, you know, millions of dollars to fight this problem, and you've got chaos in many of your border cities? I mean, it's a tough call. It's a tough call, and we certainly sympathize with the governor as to what choices he has. You know, these are not pretty choices, but he has to make a decision. He can't just talk about this theoretically. Again, we're waiting for our friend George Rodriguez. I hope we're not having phone problems again as we did last week. George, if you're trying to get in, let me know. And if you're having a problem, just text me, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to go right ahead and just call you. Let me just try this for a second. I'm going to try calling you, because I know the last time when we did this, it worked a little bit better than having you call us. I mean, there seems to be, I don't know, some kind of a problem. Sometimes we have a problem with the phone. So let's try calling George and see what happens. Let's see if we can get him on. If we can get him on right now, the phone is ringing, so that's a good sign. So at least we know that's working. So let's hope. George, are you there?
Uh-huh. Yes. I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but I think I was having a little bit of headache again.
You know, right before I went on the air, I said to myself, you know, maybe I should check with George or call him, and just to make sure. But I trusted.
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what's going on with him. With, you know, we had an electrical storm here again about a week ago. With since we're going to talk about the weather, it has been humid beyond belief here today. Oh my gosh!
Oh, wow.
It's like we need gills to breathe. But you know, we have had so much rain the past 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and we had just an electrical storm that, and it caused my computer some headaches as well. So I'm wondering
well,
if that
you
was
go ahead and,
that's probably
go ahead and tell, yeah. Go ahead and tell the world, give the world a weather report about South Texas because it is it's humid up here too. It was about 92 today. But that's not so unusual for us. I mean, I think the closer, you know, right after Memorial Day, we're into summer as far as I'm concerned, George.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We are in summer. It was officially, it was 97 was the high temperature around 6 o'clock this evening. It was 97. But with the humidity, the heat index was apparently at about 103, 104. So it was pretty bad.
You were warmer than us. You were clearly more uncomfortable than we were. We were just humid in the low 90s. So looked like you were humid and another 10 degrees or so warmer.
Yep.
Well, George, let's talk a little bit about this issue. As I was saying before we put you on, that I was on Univision this afternoon here locally, and I was I was not debating a Democrat. We were at separate, you know, they did separate interviews, but then they brought them together for the 5 o'clock newscast. And the question was, how does he do this? What authority does the governor have? Isn't immigration a federal topic or a federal issue? And so we were going in that direction, and then the Democrat said that they were going to sue the governor because this was illegal. And then he brought in Trump, which I don't know why he did, but, you know, they cannot get over Trump. We know
that. Oh, yeah, yeah.
They just can't get over Trump. But anyway, so why don't we begin there? The issue is, let me put the issue on the table, and please fill in anything that you feel I left out. You have a situation where the border is a mess. You've told us this many times. You live close to the border. You know people who work as Border Patrol. I mean, you are seeing this firsthand. We read about it. I hear the interviews that you do. I hear the interviews with the police chief in these little towns. We just had an election in McAllen where the Republican won, and the issue of the campaign was the border. So obviously people are fed up with what's happening down there. So the governor says, if the federal government is not going to do anything, I'm going to do something. I'm going to build a wall. And now the other side says, well, you can't do that because that's a federal matter. Is that pretty much where we are right now, George?
Well, you know, they leave out a lot of details, obviously. You know, I mean, you know, reporters here only disregard everything else. Because I was there yesterday at the rally and at the press conference that the governor had, and let me tell you, when he's talking about arresting immigrants, we're talking about arresting illegal immigrants. Okay,
right.
They conveniently leave out that adjective or adverb, no adjective rather. So anyway, they are going to be And when we're talking about that, what we're talking about, they're not going to be arrested on federal charges. They're going to be arrested on trespassing, which is what they're doing.
Right.
They are trespassing through private property. So there's going to be that issue. A sheriff, police officer, any state and local law enforcement official has the right to do that. And apparently that minor detail is lost on these folks. The other thing is that...
Yeah, let me just say
one
quick thing, because I want to get this in because there's so much. But I want to make sure that was the point I made. You know, I was asked whether, you know, what about people who are going to be arrested? And I said, well, first of all, if you're in the country legally, why are you jumping over a fence? I mean, you can come in through legal doors, through legal venues, whether it's by car or automobile or whatever it may be. So the only people who are going to be arrested, and that's the other point I made, that you're going to be arrested for trespassing, not for violating federal law. And that's a very clever, that's a very clever distinction here that the law is making, or that the governor is making.
Right.
Because obviously, you know, look, this Governor Abbott was the former Attorney General of Texas. I think he knows the law pretty well, and I'm pretty sure he has been briefed very carefully by his legal advisors. This was not a decision that he made quickly. I have a feeling that they've been looking into this for a few weeks. So, yeah, I mean, it's a wall. Now, go ahead and finish what you were going to say, because I have another question I want to ask you.
Well, you know, the other aspect of it, again, is that there is the issue of the smugglers. What is happening quite often is that nowadays a lot of these smugglers are the cartels are recruiting young kids, because that way they can just, you know, I mean, it's their first offense, and you know, they can't be charged with a federal offense and all this sort of stuff. Well, now they are going to be charged with a full offense by the state and local law enforcement. That should, kids should hear that and understand that that is a major issue. This is not, you know, nobody's playing around with them. So these are deterrents that are being placed put in place, and we need them, because there are obviously no deterrents being placed by the federal government at this point.
Exactly, and one of the points I made, of course, the issue always comes up, well, is this going to be Trump's wall? And I said no, because that was a different
wall. Well, the wall is another issue,
Yeah, I mean, that was completely different. It's physically totally different, because the Trump wall, as they like to call it, was being financed by the federal government, and that was a wall right on the border. Whereas I would think, without knowing the details that the governor would tell us, I mean, I would recommend to the governor to build a wall maybe 5 feet into Texas or something like that, so that it's not on the border, but it's on Texas land. And I don't know of a single federal restriction on a state building a wall on its own territory, George.
This is another issue that again, a minor detail that's lost on these folks. Governor said that he was going to put not only a wall, but barriers as well. And these barriers are all going to go in places in properties that volunteer their property. He's not going to force anybody to do anything. There's not going to be any eminent domain, to my knowledge, used or utilized for the thing. On the contrary, once these barriers and walls are put up, it will theoretically allow for the Border Patrol and the Texas State Troopers to be utilized as gaps, to fill in the gaps. So that should help quite a bit. The other thing is that the equipment, there's going to be equipment, sensors, and all this sort of stuff that's going to be put up by the courtesy of the state. The state is going to be utilizing several million dollars on this.
Right.
And again, it is the state doing everything within its power. Now, there were a lot of lawyers that were there. Oh my gosh, were there lawyers both for both sides? The opposition lawyers, the ones on the left, were relatively quiet. I think all they were doing was taking notes and, you know, mm-hmm. trying to figure out where to find holes. But the other lawyers were all very, very adamant that when the state has got to, now whether this happens or not, because this is politics at the highest level. I mean, this is politics really at the Civil War level. I mean, what people were demanding or are demanding is that if the federal government does not act, then the state has got to act. And
they've got
to follow that challenge all the way to the top. And I think that that's coming, to be honest with you, Silvio. I think that's coming. I think you're right.
I think this is going to go to the Supreme Court if it gets challenged. Of course, it may not get that far because the Texas could win a victory on, you know, in one of the courts. But I just want to make sure that I understood what you said correctly, because this is really brilliant of the governor or his team if they do this. What they're going to do, let's say you have a ranch on the border, they're going to get your permission to build a wall so that if somebody jumps over the border, they're now in your property. So they're
exactly. That's exactly possible. Exactly. That is exactly right.
So they're not going to build
a wall from
El Paso to Laredo like Trump was going to do, let's say, like President Trump was going to do. His wall
right.
is going to be everywhere. This is probably going to be a wall targeting high traffic areas. And that's brilliant to me, because if you authorize me to build a wall and then somebody crosses into my home, they're trespassing, whether it's in
Dallas,
whether it's in whatever it may be. Now, the Democrats are threatening to sue the governor and sue Texas over this. To be fair, we have not had the details of this. Of this presentation have not been made yet. I mean, the governor is supposed to be announcing that next week. And today, I think this was just the announcement that details are coming. But I fully expect Texas to win this battle. There's two things going on here for Texas. The first one is what you said, that you're trespassing, you're not violating federal law. You know, so in other words, you're not going to be arrested because you're an illegal immigrant. You're going to be arrested because you're trespassing.
Because you're trespassing. Exactly.
Yeah, no different than anywhere else. That's the one brilliant thing. The other is that it should be very obvious to anybody, including all the Democrats, like Cuellar on the border and all those small town mayors, that this is not working, George. Whatever they're doing,
what the federal government
is doing is not working.
Exactly. What they're not doing is not working.
Exactly.
I mean, really, I think that it's become very, very obvious with the victory of the Republican in McAllen for mayor that things are looking dire for the Democratic Party. I mean, they are looking dire.
Happened up here in Worth? I mean, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I just wanted to get this in because there's so much information. You know that what happened in Arlington and Fort Worth, where they had elections for mayor. In Arlington, a former, I'm not sure if he was a police officer or if he worked in the police department, but he was elected mayor, a Republican, with about 55% of the vote. And in Fort Worth, a Republican lady, who I think, by the way, has a big future in the party, she won, and she got like 53-54%. In both of these cases, these are two cities that have significant Hispanic population, and the Hispanics either didn't vote or they voted Republican. Because, I mean, those victories were pretty good victories, George. And, of course, the one in McAllen that you were talking about. So I think you're right. I think this is an issue that hurts Democrats. And the fact that, you know, the fact that they have to bring up Trump and somehow bring up Trump into the debate, I think that just tells me how weak their case is, George.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it is. There are so many bad issues combining for these Democrats, because you know, again, talking about Arlington and Fort Worth, one of the things that was really a big headache for these folks in those communities for Democrats and for the liberals was the defund the police movement.
Yes.
You know, between defunding the police and the open border, I don't know what the heck they're thinking. And now, I don't know if you noticed the price of gas. I don't know if you noticed, but, you know, it's quite a bit higher than it was 6 months ago.
I don't know what they're thinking.
I really don't know what they're thinking.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you. In fact, the editorial today, the Dallas Morning News editorial today, Friday, was saying that the Biden administration, very short-sighted in what they're doing with the price of gasoline, and the situation on the border. And of course, the price of gasoline, George, as you and I, we're old enough to remember when gasoline goes up, everything goes up, George. You know, gasoline
exactly.
goes up, tomatoes goes up, lettuce goes up, everything goes up. So, you know, people are complaining already when they go to the stores that that things are more expensive. So the announcement by the governor will be next week. And I assume, at least from what I heard today here locally, that they're going to go to the court the next day, I guess. But what court
yeah.
do they go to? What court
well,
do they go
you know,
to?
I mean,
that's kind of interesting.
They're just going to – yeah, that's all – you know, it's all going to be political theater. I'm sorry. I just can't believe that it's you know, that it's – that they really think that they've got a chance if they've looked at it logically. Of course, they might just be looking at it emotionally, which is what they always do. But in that case, I mean, they've got to understand that what is happening is what they are doing, everything that they're doing is not correct. I mean,
right.
you know, the Biden going to the and speaking to the troops in Europe and saying that the number one enemy that we've got, you know, that the military is facing is climate change. Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was absurd. I mean, that I just don't know how he does that with a straight face.
With a straight face.
Yeah, when he's talking to soldiers who at a moment's notice could be headed to Taiwan. To,
exactly.
And that had nothing to do with climate change. Or
to Syria.
Yeah, or Syria.
I mean,
or
Libya.
I mean, nothing to do with climate change. And that's where they would more likely be sent to. Now, the point he was making, I guess, in the climate change comments is that climate change is going to bring about migration, I guess. People are going to be leaving certain areas and moving into others. Well, that could be true, I suppose, but we've always had droughts. And
We've always had that.
Yeah, we've always had people moving
yeah.
for one reason.
That's nothing new.
So I'm
you know,
sure
and what do Democrats plan to do? Stop the climate from changing?
Well, of course they can do that. They can pass the Green
Deal. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I forgot.
Climate will stop changing. I mean, you know.
That's true.
The only problem with the Democrats is that every time they put one of their ideas to a vote, it doesn't pass. Remember the famous Kyoto Treaty? Remember the famous Kyoto Treaty?
Yes.
Yeah, remember that?
Right.
Like 20 years ago? That was supposed to save the world. They took it to the Senate. Now, at least Clinton took it to the Senate for a treaty. He lost
right.
97 to nothing. 97 to nothing. Not a single Democrat voted for the Kyoto Treaty, and that was supposed to save the world 20 years ago. And now you have the Paris Climate Change Accord. President Obama didn't even tend it to the Senate for a treaty because he knew he didn't have the votes. So, you know, these Democrats are great at talking about climate change. They're just not very good at explaining to people who's going to pay more for electricity and everything else related to it. Well, let me... Okay, we have another segment that I want to do because I want to talk about Senator Manchin, and I know you were in West Virginia at a time in your life, and you probably
when he was governor. Yeah, Manchin. I got to know him.
Yes,
yep.
Got to know him. So I want to talk a little bit about him because he's become a very important person currently in Washington, maybe the most important person in the Senate. But let me, before we end this segment, let me ask you a question. The legislative session is apparently going to be coming back soon. The money that Governor Abbott would be using for the wall would be money that was approved by the legislature for general border security. So he has the discretion, I suppose, to use the money how he sees fit. Do I understand that correctly, George?
Yes, that's my understanding directly, yes. Yes, that's it.
Okay. So that's the money he's going to use, money that he already has. He doesn't have to go back to the legislature and say, I want to build a wall, give me money. And honestly, even if he went back to the legislature, I'm pretty sure he'd get the money in this legislature.
Uh-huh.
I think this is a pretty conservative.
Well, there might be some opposition from the Democrats who are some of them, some of which like here are the local ones that are still saying that it's not a crisis. But,
yeah,
you know,
well,
I think it's going to.
They should talk to Henry Cuellar. They don't think it's a crisis. Just talk to Henry Cuellar down on the border, Democrat, and I think he can straighten them out real fast. We're going to take a little break, and then when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with George, but we're going to switch to Senator Manchin, who's become a pretty important character in Washington. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. We're chatting with our friend George Rodriguez down in South Texas. George, I want to go back to the wall for a second because I had a note here, and I didn't have time to ask you during our first segment. There is some talk that the governor is going to be able to use some of the infrastructure money that they're negotiating in Washington right now. That would be very interesting. Ironic, because if President Biden is going to do this, he's going to need at least 10 Republicans, assuming he gets all the Democrats, and I'm not sure he does. But I'm just saying if he did, 50 Democrats, he would need another 10 Republicans. And I can see Republicans insisting that this is infrastructure. I mean, this is going to put people to work. I mean, this wall is going to put people to work, George.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And it is necessary for infrastructure, and you can spin it any way you want because it is necessary for defense, for protection, for safety.
Right.
You can even put in the COVID issue in there. I mean, it is a catch-all, and I cannot see how they would argue anything other than it's racist. Well,
they're going to blame it on Trump. And they're going to blame it on Trump, and then they're going to blame it on Trump, and then they're going to blame it on Ted Cruz, and who knows who's next in line. But I think it's brilliant because if you're building a wall on private property, well, and you trespass private property, I don't care where you are. You don't even have to be an illegal immigrant and you'd be arrested. If I trespassed into private property, I would be arrested. So I don't know what the big deal is. Now, let me talk about Senator Manchin. I want to spend a few minutes with him because he's become the most important Democrat right now in Washington, perhaps the most important senator. And he has single-handedly stopped the Biden agenda by refusing to break on the filibuster and also by refusing to go along with this voting law that the Democrats wanted to do. I mean, he has literally brought the Biden agenda to a halt. Now, you knew him in West Virginia when he was governor. What was he like? Was he a pretty conservative guy from what you could tell?
Well, the fact of the matter is that West Virginia is a very conservative state. They have been dominated by the coal unions for a long, long time. Nevertheless, though, culturally and politically, they are very, very conservative. They are rural people who just like to be left alone, who view life in very independent terms. The whole idea of somehow that the federal government comes in and takes care of you, that's appealing. But when the federal government starts telling you what to do, and when the federal government demands that you do something, like when Hillary Clinton said we were going to shut down all of the coal plants, that doesn't very, very go very well. Now, personally, I will tell you that Joe Manchin is a very, very astute politician in the sense that he is very, very moderate, very, very careful, almost shy. But it's not that he's afraid or anything. He just doesn't rush out and do things. And he, he definitely is not going to be a person that you can push to the extreme to do anything an extremist on the right or the left.
Right. Well, President Trump carried West Virginia, and I looked it up. I couldn't believe it. I looked it up and double-checked it. He carried West Virginia by 39 points. And
oh, my gosh.
I mean, I think you would call that a landslide. And
yes.
And also, Senator Manchin, he's probably the only Democrat who could win something statewide. Every other representative is a Republican. The other senator is a Republican. Even Mr. Manchin was reelected to some extent because there was a third party in the race. He probably would have lost to this fellow Morrissey, who I believe is the governor now.
Uh-huh.
He probably would have lost to Morrissey if, you know, without that third person in the race. A lot of people were anticipating that he would be offered all kinds of things, you know, but he may have been offered those things, but he still believes in the filibuster and he's going to stick with it, which, George, that pretty much stops the agenda. I mean, what can they do if they have to get 60 votes? I don't see, you know, maybe some infrastructure.
You know, it's going to be very, very difficult for them. I mean, they are, you know, at this point, particularly the more the radical left, the more the radical base I think that the more that that happens, the more that he moves to the moderate center, and that's, you know, you're not going to move him while they're screaming and yelling that way.
Well, I was just thinking that some of the things they're calling him, Jim Crow,
oh gosh,
and being a racist, I don't think that hurts him in West Virginia. I don't think people in West Virginia are going to sit there and say, gosh, they're calling our senator a racist or Jim Crow. I don't think they're going to buy that.
I do admire
Manchin in the sense that I think he understands who he represents. And sometimes a lot of politicians get to Washington and they forget who they represent. And he represents West Virginia. he gets to Washington, he represents West Virginia, and he knows that's, you know, the expression, who butters his bread or whatever the expression is. And he knows that's his people, and that's who he's going to represent. And I have to at least give him credit for that, George.
I agree. Let me tell you, there's a great book that I was given when I left West Virginia, and it's a political history book, and it's called Those Good Old Boys. And the whole idea has been, you know, that you take care of your base and they take care of you, and let the rest of the world drop dead.
But that's the idea of the Senate. I mean, in so many ways, if you understand why the Senate was created, and I know you do, George, but a lot of people don't, the Senate was created specifically for that reason, to represent the state. And,
that's right.
You know, and that's why every senator, every state has two of them. Because the whole idea of the Senate was you're going to represent the state, not the district. You know, you're going to have districts within the state, but you're going to represent the whole state. So you've got to be able to look at the whole state and say, I've got to support what the people of West Virginia want. Let me go back to the wall for one second, George, before we go. The Attorney General of Arizona has been very critical of the Biden immigration or border policy. The Republican governor there as well. Can you see, because I can see Arizona saying, we're going to build a wall too. We're going to do what Texas did. I can see that, George.
One of the things that came out of this situation was that there's going to be a compact, a interstate compact between Texas, Arizona, and I think New Mexico, but definitely between Texas and Arizona. And what that amounts to is that they're going to be sharing resources with each other to address the crisis. That's going to help the sheriffs in both states. That's going to help the local law enforcement. That's going to help this issue of the wall. And I think that definitely the state of Arizona is going to be on board with everything regarding the wall. They're taking the same approach. They've got the biggest headache that they've got is that they've got one large Indian reservation butts up against the Mexico border. So they're going to have a hard time with that. But other than that, virtually all of the ranchers, and one of my best friends is one of the heads of the Ranchers Association there in Arizona. But virtually all of the ranchers are ready to provide land and to give space to build a wall some type barrier that will stop, that will help to stop the invasion.
Well, I think if people don't understand the commotion that this is creating, then they need to come down to the border, not Guatemala. She went to the wrong place. She needs to go to the border. The vice president needs to go to the border and see for herself. Well, George, I want to thank you, as always, for joining us and sharing your thoughts. I guess we can start making bets as to who's going to sue the governor first. Let's see. Is it going to be Beto O'Rourke or is it going to be Joaquin Castro? Which one of those two?
Oh, gosh. Well, I would say it's going to be Beto, because Beto needs attention desperately. You know,
right.
He needs to find some kind of foothold so that he can run for the next office. The Castros, it might not be Joaquin or the congressman, but it might be Julian, the one that used to be mayor that's not doing anything now other than he's supposedly writing his memoirs.
Oh, okay. Well, look, he's had such a long life. I'm sure we all need to read his memoirs. I mean, he's had such an amazing...
It was a dark, stormy night.
You know, that's right. Winston Churchill was 90 when he wrote his memoirs, and he had led Britain during World War II. He was one of the greatest personalities of the 20th century when he sat down to write his memoirs. But, of course, Julian Castro, you know, he's done a lot. So I'm anticipating his memoirs with great emotion. George, have a wonderful day. Thank you so much for joining
us,
as always.
You guys, and, you take care up there.
We'll be in touch. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Our good friend George Rodriguez getting a little bit more information about this border wall, which, you know, the more I learn about it, the more convinced I am that Texas is going to win, because we're not talking here about a wall on public territory or anything like that. A lot of it is going to be on private property where people are going to allow the government to build a wall for their own protection. I think that's pretty brilliant, actually. We'll have to wait for the details, to be honest with you. The details are coming out next week, so we'll have to wait for that. But thank you very much for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you later.